Here's Joe Traynor.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire on this dark Monday night after Daylight Savings hit us last week. Not a huge fan. I'll get our guest take on Daylight Savings in a second. But back by popular demand, my partner in crime and really co-host of the show, Colonel Michael Manning, Professor of Leadership Studies at Northeastern's University Gordon Institute of Engineering. Michael, welcome back to the program once again.
Coach, thanks for having me.
Love it. Always give great insight, and I always get great feedback on the show when you join us. So let's begin in prayer as we begin every show in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Mike and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How was your week, Mike? Your weekend, excuse me.
Yeah, Coach, very good weekend, very busy. A lot of work here locally with the church and this young life team group that we're involved with. So it was a very, very beautiful weekend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You and I have talked exhaustively about, you know, our faith journeys. And one of the things that that has come up in our personal conversation is the sacrament of confession. And I want to spend a decent amount of time on that tonight, because I want to kind of delve into that, what, you know, as a resource, as a platform to draw in relationship with Christ, as Matthew Kelly says, the beauty of Catholicism. We have so many opportunities to draw into relation with Christ, and one of which is the sacrament of confession. I know that's a big part of your faith journey, Mike. How often do you go to confession?
Yeah, Coach, I'd say when I'm dialed in and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it's probably, you know, a couple times a month.
That's awesome.
And, you know, when there are times where if I'm taking my eye off the ball, or quite honestly, Joe, sometimes the, you know, whether it's shame or there's excuses associated with not getting in. And I would say at most, you know, it will be 4 to 6 weeks, and then the Holy Spirit's calling me, you know, into the confessional.
That's awesome. That really is awesome. Obviously, we believe as Catholics that, you know, there's divine graces that come with sacramental participation. As I was preparing for this show tonight, you know, I'm stating the obvious, but, you know, of the seven, right, we have baptism, penance, Eucharist, confirmation, marriage, holy orders, anointing of the sick. There's really only two with baptism and, with confession and Eucharist, where we can draw into with regularity. That kind of just struck me, because we are called into a deeper relationship with Christ through both of those sacraments. No?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, for me, Joe, confession is an act of humility.
The ultimate act, I think.
Humility, you know, and an act of, it's an act of surrender. And, you know, which is why I think that one of the reasons why the evil one hates the sacrament so much. I mean, you may have heard the story about, you know, Padre Pio, right? St. Padre Pio, who was, among other things, in addition to being a mystic and a stigmatist, and having the stigmata, he also was a brilliant confessor. And there'd be lines, literally lines of people that would be waiting to go in to see him. And he recounts this one story, this time where he stepped outside the church, and he witnessed these lines, but he saw these shadows, these dark shadows that were like accompanying the people as they were waiting in line. And he went and confronted them, and they were demons, evil spirits. spirits of those people that were waiting to go to confession. Because when we go to confession, right, and we receive through the priest, you know, persona Christi, we receive that blessing, and he removes the stain of sin from us. You know, we're now in a state of grace, and that's another one that the evil one can't touch in that time and space.
That's powerful. You know, I love the concept. You know, to reconcile, right? To the sacrament of reconciliation. It's also known as, you know, the sacrament of healing. Let me ask you this, Mike, to the lazy Catholic or the kind of uninformed Catholic that says, oh, I can just ask forgiveness, you know, from the confines of my own bedroom, you know, as I pray. What do you say to that in terms of, like, you know, what is it about actually going to, you know, an extension of Peter, right, as the first pope? We know Christ said to Peter, hey, you know, upon this rock I will build my church. Whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, so you have that, you know, the priest, you know, is not only an extension of Peter, but an extension of Christ. But what is it about the physical act of going into, you know, a confessional or meeting with another human being that makes this such a powerful, you know, sacramental gift?
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful question. I mean, Coach, I think, you know, of course you can talk to God. Of course you can. But I think the act of going to confession and bearing one soul, you know, we've talked about humility, we've talked about surrender. It takes courage to do that as well.
No doubt.
And right, it takes courage. And when we're vulnerable like that and we open ourselves up, and we have no reason to feel vulnerable, right? We're coming into the warm embrace of the Father again in the person of the priest. But there's graces, Joe. There's graces. I mean, and this is where faith comes in. But if you believe, you know, the Holy Spirit, Christ is working through that priest. And, you know, there is a healing component of this that takes place. So, yeah, you can always talk to God. But I think it's also, Joe, it's a subordination of will.
Well, it's so true, dude. Thank you for saying that.
I'm subordinating my will to the divine will, and there's power in that.
So true. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, when you mentioned surrender a couple minutes ago, you know, certainly, you know, it's the intentional nature of that surrender too, right? I'm actually gonna, much easier to kind of keep it in your heart and especially because a lot of times we are ashamed of our sinfulness, right? But much easier to do that, but to actually have to perform an act of conscience and to go in front of another person in the form of, you know, a representative of Christ in the priest. You know, they're, you're right, man. That is the ultimate release of pride in your surrender. And, man, there's power in that. There's power in that. I'll be honest with you, Mike. I didn't really appreciate the sacrament of confession until the last few years. You know, I felt like, you know, if it was, you know, I know, you know, like, what are we're the church not requires us, but the church asks us what, once a year. And if you're somebody that's dialed in, you know, once a month, but like, you know, I probably didn't, you know, I wasn't always great at participating in the act of reconciliation. It was, you know, most years it was twice, most of my life it was twice a year, some years it was once a year. You know, but I feel like a calling, as I have, you and I were talking earlier today, but like, you know, even the concept of surrender, right? Like, you know, I spent so many years trying to do that. And, in my brokenness as a parent and as a husband and, you know, as a Catholic, it, you know, I've come to realize that only when I stay on the vine, am I safe and safe from myself, right? Save, you know, one of my prayers, say, Jesus, save me from my own sinfulness, right? And by staying on the vine and surrendering, I'm able to do that, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I love that. You know, that's a beautiful prayer of, you know, recognizing our own weaknesses. And, you know, Joe, I got into the, I think it was on one of my deployments, and it was just confession became part of, like, my battle rhythm, if you will.
Right? Sure.
And, you know, I was working down south in Central America, but when I was back, you know, I would hit, you know, confession, I'd hit mass, and it just became really became kind of part of what I was doing. And one of the things I'll share with you, not every time, and I think I may have shared this with you a number of years back, but I have been, Joe, I have been in the confessional. I suspect that maybe you have, and maybe some of your listeners. I've been in the confessional. I've received, you know, the blessing from the priest, and I've gone forward. And, like, I can feel, I have felt just such extreme joy. Like, I've felt that. I mean, I remember one time driving back, and I was coming up Slocum Road, back where you and I used to live. And you remember there was that Catholic church there.
Oh, yeah.
Up on the right, remember, to St.
St.
The first, the Native American?
Yeah, St. Kateri, yeah, right? Yeah.
Kateri, yeah. Exactly. And I remember as I'm driving, and what I heard interiorly was get to church, go to church, go to church. And I remember just, again, very joyfully pulling in there, going, spending some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And then, but, you know, beyond that, I found that if I, and I haven't, I don't do it enough, Joe, you know, a flawed guy, but there have been a couple times I could, as I reflect here as we're talking, where I had either a big decision to make, or there was one time in particular where I had to have a very uncomfortable conversation with somebody, and I wanted to be in a state of grace, Joe, because I didn't want emotion or worse, right? You know, I wanted to be able to use my words very measuredly. I wanted to be charitable. And I remember going to confession and then driving to this meeting. And again, I sometimes, you know, because of our sinful nature, because I'm a knucklehead, I forget that. And I need to replicate that more, certainly when I'm talking to my kids.
Amen, brother. But you and me both. It's amazing to me. I went to a confession. It was probably now, probably 2 months ago now, but last time I went. But when you leave the confessional, it's just, you feel like the weight of the world is off your shoulder. And it's not as if, like, it's not as if you haven't, or for me at least, it's not as if I didn't reconcile my sinfulness as I try and do an act of conscience every day. You know, when I say, like, okay, like, where was I yesterday? You know, man, that sucked. You know, I got to do better. I need to do better. I'm asked to do better. I can do better. But man, when you physically put yourself in that situation, and you know, through your surrender, you're rewarded with the gift of peace. You know, I'm never more at peace. Truly, I don't say this like exaggerating. I'm never more at peace with myself than when I get out of the confessional. You know, and I'm saying a penance. You know, I've gotten some counsel from the priest. I just feel like it's God working through me, you know?
Yeah. Well, 100%. Joe, there was just to share a story here with you that just came to mind. And this is a story goes back, you know, 25, 30 years. And I was at Providence College. I was a sophomore, junior at PC. And my job, Joe, on campus, I used to wash dishes in the Priory.
Gotcha.
Where all the Padres were. And Joe, I was in, you know, deep sin. I had made some, you know, poor choices, you know, and I was in, you know, deep in sin, and I knew I had to get to confession, but it was fear. It was shame. It was all of it that didn't allow me. And I'll never forget it. One of my jobs was I would help before, as the Padres and the brothers were coming through the Dominicans, I was in the serving line, okay, down at the end. And at the time, the prior was, he's since passed away, but his name was Father Hennessy. He's an absolute brilliant Dominican from Ohio, and he was the prior. And he's coming through, and he had a beautiful smile. And he came through, and he said, "Michael, how are you today?" I said, "I'm great, Father." And he said, "Michael, I'm going to go, once I finish eating, I'd like you to meet me in the office. You need to go to confession." Mm. And, Joe, I was like, number one, I think my initial reaction after I got through, like, just the amazement of what he had just shared with me, but there was fear, Joe. There was fear. I was like, oh, my gosh, there's no way I'm going to be able to talk to him about this. And so, lo and behold, Joe, he finishes his meal. I accompany him to his office, and I was able to get this, just this filth and this cloud off of me. Mm. There was such a relief and a relief, and I just felt, I finally felt like I was where I needed to be and one with Christ.
That's beautiful, man. Really is beautiful. And, you know, when you think about the Gospels, man, I mean, so much of what Jesus was doing, you know, if I was talking to somebody off the street and, you know, he was saying, what were the Gospels about? I mean, so much of it was, hey, he was healing the sick and he was forgiving sins. And many times he was doing both within the same act, you know, and, I mean, so many times in the Gospels, right? The woman caught in adultery, John 8:10-11, go, your sins are forgiven. The thief on the cross, Luke 23:39. You know, here he is on the crucifix, right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In his weakest and most vulnerable of moments, you know, where he, in his humanity, he's physically suffering the brutal death that he had to endure. You know, Mark 2, you know, 8 to 12, Jesus healing and forgiving on the Sabbath. You know, Mary Magdalene, I mean, you know, the today's gospel, you know, where he was eating with the tax collectors, you know, and, you know, he was just, so much of what he was doing was drawing us, because in our sinful and prideful nature, you know, when we sin, we know sin separates us from God, but what too often we fail to realize is God is in relentless pursuit of us, and he knows our sin when we commit it, and he doesn't want perfection. He wants our surrender, you know, and to your point, you know, confession is the ultimate act of that surrender.
Yeah. No, that's, Joe, that's so good. And, you know, what came to mind, right, was as Jesus, in all these different intimate interactions, right, as he was accompanying people, there was, you know, he's healing, he's forgiving, and there's a challenge for conversion, right?
No
doubt. Always this challenge, right? And then, Joe, that last piece as you were talking that came to mind, there's that absolutely, it's this magnificent piece of John's gospel. It's right at the end of John's gospel. You know, he's been crucified. Peter's denied him three times. He's been abandoned by everybody, but he's on the beach, right? He's on the beach with the apostles. And he says to St. Peter, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Right? You know that exchange.
Yeah.
And he asks him three times, and Peter becomes gets distressed, right, Joe? And, Pope, Benedict, the 16th wrote on this. There's this beautiful, beautiful writing on this particular passage in the gospel. But the Lord asks him two of the three times, Joe, when he says, "Do you love me?" He uses the word agape, which is unconditional love, right? He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." He asks him again, "Lord, you know I love you." And he becomes distressed. "You know everything." And then the third time, Joe, Jesus uses a different form of the word love. He uses philia, which is conditional or brotherly love.
Mm.
And to your point, like, the Lord loves us so much, and he acknowledges our weakness and our humanity. And essentially, I see that. I love that passage in the gospel. It's so powerful because he was willing to go all the way for us, and he knows that we can't do what he does. So he says, "Look, give me the best you got.
Yep.
Give me the best you got, and just, you know, and love as you are able, and that's going to be enough for me.
And you and I love that. I love that conversation you had with your mentor. Gosh, his name's escaped me, but he said, "Hey, some days your best is 90%. Some days it's 110%. Some days, but whatever it is, like, give me everything you have." You, as you talk about conversion, you know, it really, and it's by definition, it's a turning, right? You know, a conversion. And I think a lot of times, and we'll touch on this in a little bit about, you know, the saintly conversion, right? What was the moment of conversion, right? What was the, you know, the drop the mic, you know, lightning bolt in the sky moment of conversion? But really, the sacrament of reconciliation is, it's a conversion. It's a conversion every time we enter into that sacrament. It's a turning away from sin, a conversion away from sin and toward the gospel, you know?
Mm. Absolutely.
I'm thinking about, I think it was Matthew, you know, when Jesus is at his house and, you know, and the Pharisees are asking, hey, well, you know, why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus' reply is, it's not healthy. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, you know, and he came for the despondent, the marginalized, the sick. And when we go into confession, we're able to recognize that, you know, that the gift of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Joe, yes, all that. And I think part of that conversion, part of that turning, Joe, is that, you know, I think metaphorically, but I think literally as well, not just, you know, figuratively speaking, there's like a spotlight is shown into our souls, and we are, you know, yes, you get, you know, Nunc Chepe, now I begin.
Yep.
There's also, Joe, there's like this, a little bit of enlightenment, you know, through that act of humility and surrender. And it's, okay, this is what you need to work on, Manny, you know. And this is true of all of us. You know, the again, the wisdom, some of these conversations, and I know you've had them, and I suspect many of your listeners have too. You know, some of the wisdom that comes forth out of the priest's mouth in the confessional, I mean, it's astounding sometimes, right? The insights, they're so, you know, like that Christ is working through them because of the insights are just so unbelievably rich. And it's like you get it's an opportunity, Joe, to set a new course.
Amen. Begin again. You said it, Nunc Chepe.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, Mike. You know, we celebrated All Saints Day last week. You know, which is still a holy day of obligation, you know, and I think the gamut of different saints, you know, and Bishop Barron gave an amazing homily on All Saints Day, and he talked about we're all called to be saints, right? Not just those that are canonized, and but there is you know, with canonization, you know, we get to look at men and women. And another area that I think my faith has grown in the last few years is, you know, leaning into, you know, saintly intercession, right? Educating myself and more, you know, what were the lives of the saints like, you know, particularly those that were, you know, that I deem as flawed as I was, you know, some of them, you know, you have Mother Teresa and even St. John Paul, you know, like, man, this guy just came out of the womb. I know he or she was tainted with original sin, but you know, some of them, as you can appreciate, you know, we relate easier to, whether they're just, you know, quick to pull the trigger or impetuous or judgmental or you know, just, you know, sinful, you know, and kind of getting most of the time before their conversion, getting swallowed up with their sinfulness. But you know, it's certainly a chance to reflect, you know, on the ordained saints that we have to reach into, but also, you know, and Barron talks about this a bunch, Bishop Barron, the thousands upon thousands upon thousands, you don't need to be canonized to be considered a saint or to have lived a saintly life. And, you know, you and I, you know, I mean, I think your mother and my mom and people in our lives that were like, that we would consider saintly, You know, whether they ever, the likelihood that they're never going to get canonized, but they lived a saintly life. And we're all called to live that life, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, Joe, when I was a kid, you know, and I had the Jesuits in high school. And
my apologies. You know, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I had some of the old school. It's a different conversation, but I had some Lions. I really did.
I'm sure you did.
In Boston. But, you know, so it was Ignatius of Loyola, right? He was a soldier.
Yeah.
And he, I think he still is kind of a spiritual father for me. But, Joe, as an adult, there are, I'll tell you, the guys and girls that I really flock to, and there's three that come to mind, Joe. So there's Alonzo Rodriguez. He was a doorkeeper. He was a brother, Jesuit brother in Mallorca. There was Solanus Casey, right, who was a Franciscan priest, the American. He was a doorkeeper. He was a doorkeeper for most of his career.
Wow.
And then Martin de Porres, another who worked in the kitchens in Peru. And for these guys, why I love these guys is their humility, Joe.
Sure.
They were so humble. And there's this beautiful story about Alonzo Rodriguez, who had this guy. He was had been married. He lost his wife. He had two kids. Ultimately, they died. His business failed, and the Jesuits deemed that he could not come into the order because he didn't have the intellectual capacity. So they said, okay, you can become a lay brother. So he worked, and again, he answered the door. That's what he did for like 40 years. But Joe, he was so holy. This guy was so holy that there was a major earthquake storm in Mallorca, and literally the church kind of collapsed on itself, and some of the brothers and the priests were trapped underneath, and they all rushed to try to help. And the Jesuit superior says to Alonzo Rodriguez, "What are you doing? We will take care of this. You go pray." There was this recognition.
Wow.
This guy, this lay brother, was so humble. He was so holy that the Jesuit superior said, "We need you to pray because the Blessed Mother, the Lord, will respond to your pleas for help."
That's beautiful. That really is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Beautiful story.
I want to give a shout out to Kenny Johnston. Kenny, you know, obviously has his own show here at the station, but he's tuning in, and he just sent me the prayer, and we can delve into this. This will be a good segue into this, Mike. But he sent us a prayer, and I'll read it out loud, and then I'll ask you a question. Prayer to overcome habitual sin. My Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for all my sins. In particular, I'm sorry for the habitual sin I can't seem to overcome, whatever that sin may be. Only due to your abundant mercy have I been absolved of this sin in the past through sacramental confession. I pray that you help me slam the door on this sin. Only with your hands, your grace, can I slam the door on my sinful way, and this sin in particular. Thank you, Jesus, for your continued grace and mercy. Amen. You can find that prayer on www.notsaintyet.org. Which is pretty awesome. I've never heard of that website, but I'm definitely going to follow into that. So, Kenny, appreciate that that insight. But, Mike, I want to talk about – you know what? Actually, we'll take a quick break here, and we'll be back with Professor Colonel Michael Manning from Northeastern University School of Leadership Studies at Northeastern.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Traynor, here along with Colonel Michael Manning, Professor of Leadership Studies at the Gordon Institute of Engineering at Northeastern University. Mike, before we went to the break, I was going to ask you about habitual sin. And again, this is probably as I reflect back, this was one of the things that kind of maybe kept me out of the confessional sometimes, because I was so ashamed of those core sins that I just, that it was wash, rinse, repeat, and yet like that was just, it was so short-sighted, because only through getting back in grace and in relation with Christ, will I have the strength to overcome those habitual sins? No.
Yeah, no, 100%, Coach. I think there's another element to this, Joe, and I've struggled with, you know, Mike Catone and I joke about, like, you know, these poor Padres, you know, they. Oh, here's this guy again, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They know what they're going to hear in advance, right? You know, so I think, yeah, we have to. So there's a humility piece to this, and not being allowing shame or fear of being judged, or oh my gosh, I've failed again. So we have to, you know, again, we have to have the humility and the courage, and recognize, you know, the graces associated with the sacrament. The other part, Joe, I think, and this is where we all struggle, because we're flawed human beings, and that is, please, you know, Lord, help me to not place myself intentionally or unintentionally in the near occasion of sin. Like, I don't want to put myself in a space where I know that I may be compelled to sin. If that makes sense, right?
Sure.
So it's about breaking habits. You know, it's about breaking habits, there's wisdom that comes with failure, and there's wisdom that comes with old age or getting older. And I think, I've seen it in my own life. And, you know, so there's, you know, I think we get better if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and we cooperate with God's grace. But at the end of the day, it's a choice to subordinate our will to that of the Father's. And so in that, Joe, it's an act of love, right?
Sure.
And are you going to choose to love the Father, or, you know, sin is separating us from that love?
Amen. That's a great point. You know, and I know you and I spent a little bit of time talking about the prodigal son a few months ago, but, you know, I have that image of, you know, Christ, you know, our Heavenly Father, like, waiting for us to return from our time away from the vine, right? And as we screw the whole thing up, and he's still calling back and you know, rushing toward us, even in our shame and our sinful nature, and just wants to surrender, right? And, you know, I'm reminded, you know, of the Father sprinting down to meet his son prior to him actually getting to the bottom of the entrance. And, you know, and I know Baron touched on this a bunch, but, you know, back then, Jewish men, they didn't run, you know, all their heavy laboring and all their taxing, you know, things that had to be done, they were done by servants and or sons, you know. And here's the image of our Father, our Heavenly Father, running down to greet us as we return to the vine in our sinfulness. And that was such a powerful image for me, you know, who, you know, you have a son that's like, oh, you know, by the way, Dad, when I'm not, you haven't died off yet, but I'm going to ask for my inheritance even before you die. And then I'm going to, you know, work through that, like, you know, in record time. And then, you know, only when I'm eating out of the trough of pigs and eating, you know, what they're having, you know, do I come to realize, you know, how broken I am. And, you know, you still bring me back with open arms. You know, it's just crazy powerful.
Yeah. Joe, you're right. I think Bishop Barron, and I've heard him preach on this. It's unbelievable, you know, and essentially, and you touched upon it, it was at that, in that time and space, that was the equivalent for him to ask for, you know, his inheritance was basically saying, I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
The equivalent of that, right?
Yeah. And,
but yeah, the Father's love is so great that he looks beyond our sinfulness, our sinful nature, and our transgressions, and he's always there. I think, though, it's so powerful, Joe, you gotta, there's a choice here, though. You have to be deliberate with coming back.
No doubt.
You know, right?
So
you know,
true.
And there's been, you know, there's been times, right, where we, like, you come back in, you know, I'm on the property, but now, but
yeah,
I'm not
right. Yeah.
Committed, right?
Absolutely. I'm dipping my toe in the water, but I haven't gone full throttle. Just talking about Baron, I know he influences your journey and certainly mine. And, you know, he's just, his ability to dumb it down and to be authoritative, but not arrogantly in doing so. He has such an appeal to me. I can't get enough of him, honestly. And, you know, you and I talk all the time about leadership and you know, we lost, you know, a pipe swinging, leader and Father Mark Beard from Louisiana a little while ago. And, you know, you just see those, the strength, you know, and men of character like that. And you just wish that and hope and pray that, you know, I know Baron's, you know, continues to have a greater platform. And, man, when you see people like that, I want them at the very top of the list from a leadership standpoint, because I know for a guy like that, and even, you know, you turned me on to Father Beard, who died tragically enough a little while ago in a car accident. But, like, man, when you find those type of church leaders, you'll, like, you know, you'll fall on a grenade for them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think why a guy like Baron is so special is that he's so smart, Joe.
Oh,
right? He's
God.
So smart. And he's so measured. He has the ability to, you know, there were certain general officers in my previous vocation where they had the ability to communicate, like, at the strategic level, like these big ideas. Yet the authenticity, the humility, the affability, right? Just you liked these guys.
Oh my
right?
God! Yeah,
and you know you
and you'd follow them. You'd follow them.
You'd follow them exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you would literally. They could communicate. It's like that we've talked about that Kipling's prayer. If
yeah,
you know the ability to
walk
no
with
matter
kings
who
and
they
keep
were
the common
with,
touch.
They
yeah,
they could accompany you no matter where you were in your station in life, and I think that's what Baron does really well. A guy like Beard, who, as with you, I loved his message, and my gosh, what a loss. I think there's certain, and this is a larger conversation, where Beard excelled is that, you know, he knew how to light souls on fire in a really beautiful and in a very poignant and very intimate way. He knew how to really, like, when you listen to his message, he was talking to you. And, you know, he was, I suspect, and I, you know, I didn't know the guy, I don't know anything about him, but I suspect that was a guy that wanted to die in place. You know, he wanted to die on the job as a pastor of that parish,
no doubt,
Louisiana. That's where he wanted to be, right? With the right, he wanted to smell like the sheep.
Amen. And he was among them too. He was living among them. When right. when after he had passed, I know, and you turned me on to him a while ago, but I kind of did some research in his death, and I'm listening to the governor of Louisiana, who wasn't even Catholic, and the way that that state mourned his loss, Catholic, non-Catholic alike, it was powerful. It was powerful. Let me ask this, Mike, did you ever listen to Barron's interview with Shia LaBeouf?
I did not, Coach.
Oh, dude, if you get a chance, it's awesome. It's, you know, Shia LaBeouf, you know the actor I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I do Padre Pio.
Padre Pio, yeah, he played Padre Pio, and he was a non-practicing Jew, and he converted to Catholicism because of the powerful experience by playing Padre Pio. You talk about a, you know, no such thing as a coincidence, right? So this is, not only is he in Hollywood among the elitist, you know, whatever connotations we want to bring with that, but you know, he's Jewish in nature, and he spends an hour with Bishop Barron talking about his conversion, and it really powerful. I mean, one of the most powerful faith related interviews I've ever seen, and he spends an hour with them, and his mom was like incredibly distraught. You know, because she heard rumors that he was surrounded by lay people and clergy alike, and as he was making the movie, and just kind of felt this draw to the faith and its rituals and its routines and confession being one of those things, but really just kind of, you know, the way that he was, you know, kind of going with Bishop Barron at the time. And the other thing, and I'll get off of this in a minute, but the other thing I love about Barron, he's been on with Jordan Peterson. Like, he is so well-versed, and I said this before on this show, but Archbishop Chaput, who was the Philadelphia Archbishop, kind of a, you know, lightning rod of a leader. You know, people either loved him or hated him. I grew to love him and totally respect him. But anybody that can be well-schooled in what the opponents are saying is just tremendous power, you know, and I've always been in the day and age where we funnel like-minded messaging to our vacuum, right? We want to just kind of, we want to feed our monster of thought and, but never, you know, I know me, I'm never where I need to be in terms of understanding the other side, whatever it might be, politically, socially, spiritually, whatever. But I always felt like Barron, you know, when he gets into these debates with, you know, whether it's educated, you know, whether it's academic elitist or think tank people or atheist, you know, he just has such a way about him, only being able to debunk certain things because he's so well versed in their thought, you know?
He's just a special man. And I think, Joe, I think he's holy.
I do too.
And so, you know, I really do. I think he's holy. So it's, you know, it's like, you know, he has his intellect and then, you know, he's absolutely working through him. You know, he's working through him and you see just, he can have just the way he listens empathetically. And, you know, he's able to foil, you know, certain things. It's just, it's really remarkable listening to him. Joe, there's something that you had just mentioned a few moments ago about, you know, I think it was kind of keying in on Shia LaBeouf, you know, converting. But last night I was I want to share this with you very quickly because you'll appreciate it. We were at this Life Teen event. Where we're, you know, we're part of the adult core and the juniors and the seniors in high school, they run this for the eighth graders and then for the freshmen and sophomore. They do a beautiful job. But we have a couple deacons and it's a beautiful parish. It's alive. And so we've actually got one deacon that's permanently assigned, you know, for the year. and then two other deacons that come in and help with the life team. But so the young man, the deacon that's presently assigned to the parish, he's actually from Vietnam. His name's Peter. Really holy guy, just super joyful. He's going to be a great priest. But he was telling me, he goes, Mike, he goes, you're not going to believe this. He said, we had earlier this week, you know, basically a day of a retreat, a day of discernment for people that were thinking about coming into the priesthood, coming into the seminary for next year. And Joe, there was a young, relatively young man in his, I think, low 30s from New York. He had spent 10 years as a Buddhist monk.
Oh, wow.
And he felt the call. And he's discerning the priesthood. And
wow, that's beautiful.
There was a, isn't that beautiful?
That's awesome.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, but Peter telling that story was he was so joyful, and he was just, you know, laughing with joy. He said, like, Mike, can you imagine that the story? How did he get here?
Yeah,
and
right.
You know, of course, that's God.
No doubt. And before we, I want to talk about. Yesterday's gospel reading for as we close out, Mike. But before we get there, you know, I want to just mention the final act of reconciliation. You know, as the priest absolves us from our sins, and I never really listened to this, but you know, as I was preparing for this this show tonight, this program, you know, I kind of dialed into it, and it's acting in the name of Christ. The priest will extend his hands over the penitent and say, God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace. And I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Man, is that powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why I've never really been able to kind of dig into that message, but man, I you know, the next time I go into the confessional, I'm certainly going to appreciate that more in the context that it is. And, you know, it's such a great reminder. He came, you know, the Son has reconciled the world to himself, right? He's reconciled the world to himself, man. That is such a powerful image. And, I know confession, you're one of the men that have drawn me closer to that sacrament, Mike, and I want to thank you for that, because I know that's such a huge part of your spiritual journey, and you don't let anything, you know, your sinfulness, your humanity, your schedule, you don't let anything really get in the way of that part of your faith practice, and I want to thank you for that, because it's impacted mine.
Mm. No, thank you, Coach. Well,
I mean,
you know, I was led by someone else, you know, who said, hey, this is, no, I appreciate your words, Coach.
And that's the gift of evangelizing, right? We're all called, to your point, you were led by somebody, and, you know, and my hope is that I'm able to bring somebody closer to the sacrament of confession, and it's healing, you know, the sacrament of healing and the opportunity. We're called to begin again every day, but we're never called to begin again more than we are after we leave the confessional, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
Mike, beautiful. I want to, you know, there's some gospel readings, you know, you resonate with more than others. They're all God's word and divinely inspired word of God. But, you know, this was one that I really kind of just hit me in the face yesterday as I was at church, you know, with Jesus, the denunciation of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. This is from Sunday's Mass. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. their love places. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father, but have but one father in heaven. Do not be called master. You have but one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to get to the beginning. And this reminded me, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. So the way I interpret that is he's saying it's okay to respect the position even if you don't respect the person. Is that how you read that?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to say that. Yeah, it's the position, respect the rank.
Respect the rank, you know, definitely.
You respect the rank. I don't have to, that's something we use frequently in the military, which is you respect the rank. You don't necessarily have to respect the man.
Yeah, and I think even... not
the woman.
Yeah, and not even that. Like, there's certain clergy that we feel like we're just talking about beard, and he was with the sheep, and he smelled like the sheep, and he was, and Baron, you get that, he's rank and file, in the fight with you. But there's other men and women that are holy and ordained, but they may not, you may not gravitate toward them. But certainly, the reminder that, hey, we have to respect the position as people within the church,
Agreed. And I think, Joe, there's a heavy burden, right, associated with leadership. And what the Lord is also kind of driving at there is this, what I think that gospel screams of is integrity.
Yeah.
Right? And like the alignment of words and deeds. Right, the alignment of words and deeds, and Christ was relentless. It's all throughout the gospel.
So true.
He was constantly coming after. Right, the scribes and the Pharisees, like, hey, you know what?
It doesn't mince words either. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Hey, you guys want to be seen. You want to purport, yourselves as being one thing and projecting an image when in fact, you're failing in. Holding yourself to the same standard that you are holding everyone else to.
Yeah.
There's this hypocrisy there, right? This lack of integrity.
And this hubris too. Like this, I'm caught up in all the circumstance and the pompous byproduct of the role, but I'm not really doing the role the way I should. And then, and you and I have talked about the concept of servant leadership ad nauseum. I mean, that's, you've modeled, you've spoken to companies about your servant leadership style and Christ being the ultimate servant leader. But, you talk about, as you give the image of beard, smelling like the sheep, being among the sheep, not just leading from safe shores, you're kind of, when you're meeting people where they are, you will smell like the sheep, But I love that line in verse 3. Therefore, do and observe all the things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. And I see, and I don't know if this is accurate, but this is my perception. I feel like Christ, his never wanted to mince words, but I feel like his candor, over the course of his public life, in the three and a half years that he was public with his ministry, you feel like a progressive nature of how he responds to the hypocrisy of really what I would call church leadership back then too,
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, pulling that thread, Joe, I mean, I think towards the end of his ministry. And I think it's because he knew that the time was running near. He became more emphatic about, challenging the status quo. And there was this, Coach, it comes down to, you mentioned humility.
I was just going to say that. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Yes. And you see it, right? We see it everywhere.
Everywhere.
In every industry. It's, unfortunate. And it has been this way since the beginning of time. It's in the church. It's everywhere. So, you got to keep, when you mentioned servant leadership, Coach, it's about the other, right?
Other-centered.
The leader, take care of people first, they'll take care of the mission. But even beyond that, and that's why when we can talk about Christ, keep your eye on the cross.
Amen.
Right? Keep your eye on the cross. And you're not that it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to get it right.
So true. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And I love your line there, keep your eyes on the cross. And when we deviate from that, we end up we run amok. It's like the bus. I look at the two-decker buses, that you have, and the people up top, you're like, hey, who's driving that thing? And sometimes I feel like, when I try and do it myself, I'm on that bus that has no navigation system and no driver.
Yeah.
When I get out of the way, only when I get out of the way am I peaceful? Am I happy? Am I following God's will? And he doesn't call for perfection, as you say to me all the time. He calls for surrender. So, Mike, this has been awesome.
Beautiful.
I love you, brother. I'll talk to you. And, folks, have a great week. God bless you, and go Eagles. Take care.